It's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to answer your questions about the great outdoors. Call in now at 888-898-2525 and join SC Wild on the Sports Talk Media Network.
Well, I tell you what, with the weather that we have right now, I know what you're doing. You're getting to the outdoors, and you're having whatever kind of fun you can have outdoors in South Carolina when the temperatures get back up into the 70s. Put away those ice blowers and the shovels and the snow tires. None of that in South Carolina, of course. Let's welcome in Major Billy Downer, Department of Natural Resources, another edition of SC Wild here on Sports Talk with a special guest tonight. Welcome, Major.
Thank you, Phil. Tonight, a special show.
Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting wabbits.
Yes, just like Elmer Fudd, we're going to be talking about hunting wabbits tonight. Okay. That's something we've never done, so this is the first show for those that have been listening for a while. This is going to be one you haven't heard before. I'm going to invite in Michael Hook to talk to us tonight, one of our small game biologists, and has a lot of knowledge for us about rabbits in South Carolina. You may learn something you didn't know, some studies that are going on right now. But, Michael, thanks for joining us on the show tonight.
Thanks for having me.
So we were in the office this week talking about ideas of things we haven't talked about. I was thinking about things that we haven't talked about. And Michael and I started talking about rabbits for a minute, and we were talking about studies going on with rabbits. And since it is rabbit season, or as Fudd says, wabbit season, it will continue through March 1st, guns and dogs, and it's five per day. It is has been a favorite pastime for many years. Long ago, kind of came back a little resurgence. Not sure if that resurgence has kind of slowed a little bit. Michael, what do you think about that?
I don't know. It's still pretty popular recently. You're right. It did sort of wane, but I don't know. There seems to be a younger generation that's get interested. You know, they heard about their grandfathers hunting them, and they're starting to get into it. So, yeah, I think it's still going strong.
So as far as population goes, I always heard Hugo, where we had the destruction of so much property and so many fallen trees, created great habitat for raising rabbits. Is that true, Michael?
That is correct. Yeah, so, you know, we had a lot of damage across this coastal plain especially, and rabbits exploded. It's a lot like, you know, any of that early successional habitat. It's good for quail, it's good for rabbits, all that type of stuff. And so, yeah, they took off. Now, over the last 30, 40 years, things have changed, and we don't have all the early successional habitat we used to have. The trees grew up, and we don't have quite as much rabbitat as we used to have, but they're still going strong today.
I like that, rabbitat. Mm. That's great stuff. That's a whole nother word. Whole nother word. We had webbits, and now we got rabbitat. So a whole Elmer Fudd dictionary tonight. But anyway, so in our conversation, Michael was giving me some information just about some of the things that people may not know. If you're hunting rabbits in South Carolina, most people think they're hunting cottontails, and that is a species of rabbit. But, Michael, how many species do we actually have in our state?
We actually have four. You know, like you said, the eastern cottontail is number one. You know, they're spread all across the state, and you know, that's the one most folks think about. Then we have another rabbit that and even I was guilty of this growing up. We call them swamp rabbits, and they're distributed pretty well across this state, but they're not swamp rabbits per se. They're actually marsh rabbits.
Right.
There is another species called swamp rabbit that we do have in South Carolina, but they're only found up and down the Savannah River. And so they're much more reclusive. You don't see them as much. So most of what we called swamp rabbits growing up are actually marsh rabbits. And then we've got the Appalachian cottontail, which is very similar to the eastern cottontail, but it just lives at high elevations up in the mountains.
Cool. So as far as size goes, you were showing some pictures to me of rabbits a little bit. What's the biggest rabbit in the state?
The biggest rabbit is by far the swamp rabbit. they are huge. they dwarf, you know, most of the rest of the rabbits.
Instead of taking two or three rabbits to make a stew, it just takes one of those.
That is correct. Yeah, they're massive. Cottontail usually weighs 2 or 3 pounds, and a swamp rabbit will weigh twice that. It weighs 5 or so pounds.
So how about a marsh rabbit? They're saying 2 or 3 pounds is a cottontail?
Yeah, they're a little bit bigger than a cottontail usually, but not by much. I mean, they're just slightly larger, and they look a little bit different, too. If you had both of them in hand, the cottontail has got a white, fluffy tail, as you can imagine. The marsh rabbit has sort of got a darker belly, and it's got a brownish color tail. Some people call it blue. And like I said, they got short little stubby ears compared to a long-eared cottontail. But, yeah, the marsh rabbits are a little bit larger, but not near as large as a swamp rabbit.
But they do have a little white under the tail, don't they? When the tail comes up a little bit? Because when I hunted rabbits, we ran into marsh rabbits probably more than cottontails, just in the area we hunted, which was interesting because it was fields. And as you and I were talking, that's still habitat for marsh rabbits, isn't it?
That's right, especially down in your neck of the woods where they have lots of ditches and all around those fields. There's plenty of water around those fields, and that, those ditch banks get grown up, and it's just perfect habitat. So, you do see a lot of those marsh rabbits in those ditches and those waterways. Now, the swamp rabbits are definitely found around the water. They typically are around a creek or a river or a stream or a lake even. So they're the rabbit that famously attacked Jimmy Carter. There's a famous picture of him out in a little wooden boat, and there's a rabbit chasing right after behind him. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So they were swimming. Was it swimming?
Yeah, the rabbit was, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know what the rabbit was thinking, but he was in hot pursuit.
Oh, wow. So as far as rabbits in size, just looking at the difference for those that may not know, a marsh rabbit has smaller ears. Cottontails have longer ears. Their eyes seem a little bit bigger, too. Is that correct, or is that just an observation of mine?
No, it's probably fairly accurate. I mean, they're sort of bigger, rounder. I don't know. There is certainly a difference.
Okay.
And the eyes are another telltale for the difference between the eastern cottontail and the Appalachian cottontail. So with the names being similar, you can imagine in hand, both of the rabbits look pretty close the same. There's a little black stripe on the top of the head of an Appalachian cottontail. And it's got a little black ridge to the ears. But really, it's hard to tell them apart, except for if the rabbit happens to be dead, their eye bones are different. So that Appalachian cottontail's got a different eye structure than the eastern cottontail.
Okay. And I'm going to let you get into a little bit of the study of Appalachian cottontails a little bit later. But right now, let's talk about habitat, or rabitat, as you said. what is good rabitat in South Carolina? What makes good a rabbit? If somebody says, hey, I want my property to be, I want to produce good rabbit hunting habitat.
So technically it's early successional habitat. So young growth, we're talking broom straw, broom sedge, some of your native warm season grasses, stuff like that. Blackberry brambles. Yes. Greenbrier, any kind of hard, woody, low-growing cover, even like logging, slashing stuff, those log piles are great rabbit habitat, you know. So if you're driving down the road and you see an old clear cut and it looks sort of brushy and woolly, that's good rabbit habitat. Overgrown fence rows, like we talked about earlier, the ditch banks. Something that looks like it needs a little bit of a mow. You know, you need to get the bush hog out. That's probably good rabbit habitat.
So some of the best hunting we did was in briar patches. If you could find a field that's covered in briars, that was where rabbits love to be.
100%. Yeah, no, absolutely.
And so what is a rabbit? You know, you always laugh. Our kids, we tell the stories and we read the books about rabbits eating in gardens. What is their main food source?
Most any kind of plant that they can find. You know, obviously, we were talking about briars, and I think of blackberry brambles and all. You know, obviously the leaves on those plants, the fresh new shoots that are coming up, they love those. This time of year, you think, well, everything's dead out there. But if you walk around out in one of those overgrown fields, you'll see the rosettes of the plants sort of starting to come out a little bit now. It's just yep. little green shoots. And that's what they're chowing down on. Waste grain, and you know.
Austrian rye, that wild rye that grows up in fields too?
That's right, yeah. No, 100%. Anything that's green and leafy, they love it. Like I say, waste grains out in fields. As clean as farming has become, it still scatters some grains, so corn or soybeans or what have you, that, you know, rabbits will eat that. And so, yeah, a little bit of everything. I was going to mention the blackberries. They obviously eat the blackberries once they become ripe in the summertime. And blackberries are one of the best wildlife plants there is. It provides cover, structure, protection, food, you know, you name it. Blackberry brambles are awesome.
So you mentioned protection. What is the number one predator on rabbits in South Carolina?
Oh, it would either be hawks or some of your larger mammals, coyotes,
right.
Foxes, you know,
bobcats.
Yeah. I don't know if I could put my finger on one or the other, but yeah, all four of those would be the top of the list.
So if someone has property, they're trying to create good rabbit habitat, a trapping regimen might be good for fur bears during the trapping season, like coyotes, bobcats,
yep.
those kind of things, legal foxes, trapping foxes
Absolutely.
Out of the area. So basically what would be good for quail would be good for rabbits. Is that true?
Yeah, no, 100%. You're spot on. You know, and sort of now is the time to start thinking about trapping. You know, it's good time of the year. Most of the time you don't have a whole lot going on. You're catching those predators right before, the rabbits, are going into heat here shortly. They'll be having babies. The quail and the turkeys will be laying nest here shortly. Deer fawns will be on the ground here in the next couple, months. So, you know, now if you get rid of the predators now, those young of the year have got a really good chance of going strong.
And now we've got about two more weeks. That's it. March 1st ends trapping season. So December 1st through March 1st, just want to mention that to folks. Maybe think, oh, I need to get start trapping. Yeah, you better get hurry up fast. It's two more weeks. So when you mentioned they start rearing and baby rabbits are called, is that kits? Is that right? Do I remember that right? Is it kits?
I'll take your word on that.
Oh, come on. You're supposed to be the rabbit. So baby rabbits are kits. They are called kits. 1 point for Downer. I got it. They
there
are called kits.
Go.
But they what time of year do rabbits produce?
They're starting now. And they'll peak end of April, early May is sort of the peak. But, they're starting now.
And how long does it take to raise a baby rabbit? Can they not have multiple broods in a year?
Yeah, no, they absolutely. So the parent rabbits, they actually call them doe and bucks, just like deer. But the does will take care of the young for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then that's it. And then they move on, and they can have as many as 7 or 8 litters a year.
Holy cow.
Mm. Yeah.
So the babies are gone in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're on their own.
Yeah. And they are sexually mature at 6 months. So the early born ones can actually start reproducing their first year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm surprised we're not overgrown rabbits with those kind of numbers. That's pretty incredible.
Well, you know, it's tough being a rabbit. So,
but then again, predation's high, so that tells you something too.
Exactly. So
they're at the bottom of the food chain.
There is a reason they produce like they do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk about the Appalachian cottontail for a minute, because that's a really cool information you were telling me. So it's only in Appalachia, it's in the Appalachian Mountains, which run into South Carolina, and we're doing a study right now, correct?
That is correct, yeah. So the lady that helps me out, Sarah, and I believe she's been on the program.
Former star of the show, we're going to bring her back, yep.
That's right. She is actually in the upstate as we speak. We've got about 60 traps out this week. We're trying to catch Appalachian cottontails. So we've got about five routes that have 10 or so traps on them and trap lines, and she's setting them, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock, running them all night, and then shutting them up about 7 in the morning. So,
folks that want to know this is not a snare trap. This is actually a rabbit box, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. It's a live trap. You know, we're not hurting these rabbits. We don't know a whole heck of a lot about these rabbits. They're few and far between up there, and so we certainly don't want to harm them in any way. So yeah, these are, like I say, just those, you know, rabbit boxes that you grew up thinking about trapping rabbits in. And rabbit goes in, sets the little trigger, and it closes behind him. And Sarah comes along in a little while, and she's got a blanket. And usually, if you can reach in there and get the rabbit out and keep it in the blanket, it's sort of calm, and it doesn't hurt itself. And then she can take her measurements and all that good stuff, and then turns it loose.
Well, we got a caller, Phil. What we got, a caller, Chris in Charleston?
Mm-hmm. Chris in Charleston.
All right, Chris, welcome to the show. Go ahead. What's your question?
Yes, sir, Major. Got about 100 acres up in Denmark, South Carolina that we deer hunt with, and coyotes have been a problem. What kind of trap are you suggesting to use to catch the coyotes, like a conibear or...
Well, so there's a variety of trap sets you can use for coyotes. Probably one of the most successful are the foothold traps because they're relatively easy to put out. And that's when we do the fur bear classes, and I would encourage you maybe to look for one of those classes where we do some of the trapping classes. South Carolina Trapping Association puts on some as well. I'm sorry?
Sure. Yes, sir. I was listening to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, Michael, you got any better suggestions on that?
No, you're spot on. Those foothold traps are the way to go. Usually number twos or number threes.
Yep.
One of the name brand ones, Minnesota Trap Line, a 550, MB 550. I think we've got one of those, coyote trapping workshops next week. I'm fairly certain it's full right now, but we've been having those about once a quarter, so every 3 or 4 months. If you go online,
yes,
that's
sir.
Right. Yep, and they've been popular. They do fill up quick, but you can get, like I say, you learn a lot about trapping. You learn a lot about the animals themselves, and it's you know, you sit in the classroom for a while and do PowerPoints, but you also get out in the field. We show you how to set the traps and all that good stuff too. So
one of the things I will tell you about coyotes that you got to understand is scent is everything. And if you touch that trap with your hand, that coyote's not going to step near it. They have got that much of an incredible smell. You've got to wear gloves. You've got to use, there's some cover scents and things. And they talk about all that in the class. So again, look that up. DNR, look for trapping class, trapping clinics. And I tell you what, we'll probably get Phil, Jay Butfalosky on. We'll talk about the trapping clinics a little bit, and kind of get some more information, because that's a good thing. But thanks for calling in. Great question. Mm-hmm. But definitely, your foothold traps. And like he said, what was the trap? What was the
Senators,
name of the traps again?
Just all to say, Senators Bounties four coyotes. That would solve the problem, I think.
Well, we still got the bounties on coyotes as far as we have the trap, the coyotes that are tagged. And those are still out there, and they'll continue to do
Nobody's going to go, spend some money. Let's solve this problem. State needs to spend some money. Let's solve this problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Well, one of the things I will say is for folks going after coyotes, there is no closed season on them. We've opened it up. As much as you can open it up, you can take coyotes day, night with a permit, everything. There's no holds barred because we realize they are a problem. It's something we want to get rid of as much as we can. So we encourage everyone to get out there and get into that. But again, thanks for that call. And where were we on? So you were talking about the Appalachian rabbit. We got about three more minutes, Michael, to talk about that. What are we hoping to learn from our study?
Well, we're hoping to learn that they're still up there in the mountains hanging out.
So number one, they do exist. That's the main thing.
Exactly. 100%. So, our forest up there are about 180 years old. We've got about 2% that is early successional habitat. And so we were a little worried that there's not a whole lot of habitat for them. And so they're probably in pretty spotty areas across the upstate. And so we want to make sure that they're still there and doing okay. We're going to try to collect some DNA and make sure that their genetics look good and they're not getting too isolated and all that. But,
What would genetics have? What are you looking for? Real quick for folks wanting to know, why would you be worried about genetics of rabbits in the mountains?
Well, so one, we want to make sure that they are, in fact, Appalachian cottontails and not eastern cottontails. You know, you can look at the markers, like those dark spots I was telling you earlier, and you can get a pretty good idea. You'll think, yeah, that's one. But to really confirm, you need those genetics that, yep, this is Appalachian cottontail, because there are eastern cottontails up there, and there's also hybrids of the two. So it's a little bit messy.
Well, that makes it hard.
Yeah, it does. And then, like I mentioned a minute ago, you want to make sure that the population's okay and a good diversity in the genetics. You don't want them starting to be inbred or anything like that. So you want good genetic diversity. So we're going to try to look at all that if we can get our hands on some of these.
Now, are we tagging these, the ones that if we find some, we're going to tag them?
We are not.
Okay.
No, we're just going to take a little bit of genetic material and release them just like they were.
Okay. So and rabbit boxes. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, this study was done 20 years ago. We're replicating it. 20 years ago, they were fine and dandy, so we're hoping the same thing.
Yep, and that's good. 20 years is a long time, so
it'll
be interesting to see where we are. But rabbit boxes, when I was growing up, rabbit boxes made out of wood, had a little stick in the front, and they pushed a little stick to go through the back with a little bait. It would close the front door. Is that still how rabbit boxes work today?
Absolutely. If it works, it works, man.
And what do you bait for rat? What do you bait traps with for rabbits?
We are using Granny Smith.
Don't tell me carrots.
I should have.
Granny Smith apples.
Yeah. They hold up well. They smell good to the rabbits.
Okay.
Yeah, they're pretty good bait for us.
Awesome. Well, Michael, is one parting comment you want to make for folks that might be interested in rabbit hunting or making sure their property is good for rabbits? What would you tell them?
Well, I would tell them that I would encourage them to leave a bit of that ugly, messy, weedy area for the rabbits, the quail, the bachman sparrow, all those things. And if you have it and you get a chance to go rabbit hunting, it's nothing like it. Hearing those beagles howling, chasing the rabbits, it's like I say, I grew up doing it with my granddad. It's just nothing else like it. So I'd encourage you to go do it if you get the chance.
Absolutely. Know your zone of fire. Stay within it, especially when you're rabbit hunting, because rabbits will come back at you. So you got to know which way you can fire and which way you can't. But thanks again for another show, Phil, and thanks again, Michael, for joining us.
Thank you, gentlemen. Great stuff. I mean, that was really, really interesting. Hope folks enjoyed hearing about that. Of course, we'll have more with the Major in a couple of weeks. Otherwise, have a great night. See you tomorrow here on Sports Talk.